Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 33, January 31st, 2012, Leo and the Blazing Pickle. Hi there, everyone. Gordo for Ham Nation in place of Bob. Bob K9EID is out there. We aren't sure exactly where, but he's covering a big story. And tonight we've got a fabulous program that I know you're going to enjoy. All the way from the rocks at Quartzsite to chat room comments, as well as the very latest from both George and Cheryl. So let's first check in with George. Hey, George, what's new with you?
Hi, Gordo. Good to see you and Cheryl and everyone tonight. Well, we had a ham fest here in the Jackson area this past weekend, and it was great. I would say it's probably the largest one they've had in recent years. A lot of new vendors there, a lot of old boat anchors and gear, too. And I made a little haul myself of a few things I needed. And I always look forward to the ham fest. We ran into some interesting people there. Some that some of our viewers may know, and we'll be looking at those later in the show.
All right. Well, thanks, George, and you're absolutely right. Nothing beats going to a ham fest and picking up backups to the backups you've already got. And I know many of you probably have that drawer full of microphones, and you don't need one more, but you just couldn't pass it up. And that drawer full of wall warts, which we all have. Always fun to get one more at a ham fest. All right, let's check in with Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl, what's going on with you? And I understand some new things, huh, Cheryl?
Yeah, there are some new things, actually. And good evening to everybody at Ham Nation and all and everyone watching tonight, and welcome. Anyway, new things. Well, the newest, latest, greatest ham radio thing that's going on here at the QTH is someone had actually sent a HF antenna our way, which was a mystery antenna. We're dying to put that up and, you know, talk on 75 meters. So if you ever get a chance to check out the mystery antenna online, because it gets out really nicely and it's kind of stealth looking too. So other than that, we have balmy temperatures here in Chicago and we aren't used to it anyway, but we'll take it. We'll take what we can get. And that's pretty much it here. That's all I've got.
All right. Well, we've got a special report from Cheryl coming up all about the Buddy Holly story. And Cheryl will get back to you in just a little bit. But first, the promised Quartzsite report and the Palm Springs Hamfest report. This past weekend and past week, Quartzfest did its thing. 800 hams over a week long on the desert floor. They all needed a good shower, including me afterwards. 250 RVs, twin fire rings at Quartzsite, Arizona. And Quartzsite is just across the river from California, Arizona. And Quartzsite is where they have almost, I think, 100,000 plus RVers come on into town for the big RV sports and recreation show, in addition to the hams camping out 5 miles downstream at Quartzfest. So, Alex, if you're ready, let's roll some of those real quick picks, and I'll tell you a little bit about what happened at Quartzfest. First of all, the weather was terrific. See all that? We monitored it. We had no rain. Isn't that great? No rain at all. That's one of our demo radios. That was a door prize that went to one of the RVers, and that was a Kenwood D72, and that's a great performing radio. And your next one, Alex? And kids were there. I think they were ditching school, but kids, a lot of seminars taking place at Quartz Fest. Ladies, we had you covered. They had us covered with all sorts of ladies' activities every day. Every night we had a movie at Quartz Fest on the side of one of the trailers, and we had some experts talking about everything from space exploration to exploring the cosmos to roasting hot dogs and watching for meteors at some of the meteor showers that were nearby. Your modest antenna on a quartzite mobile home, just a little three-element beam, and... Oh, that's Aho's, the cat dragged in motor vehicle. But let me tell you, that man's got it together. And this is what it looks like when we begin to pull up and claim a camp spot at Quartz Fest. And there's Bayan of Bionics showing off his new ARDF transmitters and transmitting antenna locator. And that's the Gordo van. And notice I'm on 2 meter sideband for the contest that weekend, that first weekend. The Blue Pole held up the 40 meter. There's our Quartz Fest W7Q, there we go, antenna system. And it really put out a great signal. VE testing at the desert floor. A little bit of wind, but not a problem at Quartz Fest. And the operating station was the ICOM 9100. It operated day in, day out, did not miss a beat, even though there was a lot of sand blowing. And, oh, Russ, there you are. There's some of our music taking place at Quartz Fest. So Quartz Fest was more than just ham radio. Then we move on to Palm Springs, and there... treasures galore, very special treasures for all of you. This was at Gary and Susie's QTH. That's a home, and they just opened it up. Look at that antenna for all the RVers to come in. And finally, Sunday, the tram ride to take an overview of the gorgeous Southern California desert to the sea at the Big Palm Springs Ham Fest. And of course, a lot of antennas, a lot of VHF, UHF, microwave, a lot of testing, a lot of demos with all the tools available. And everybody was hands-on at Quartz Fest to get a chance at working with all the gear. Direction finding, finding the little cat collars and people collars. All of this was live demonstrations at Quartz Fest. So the Quartz Fest was a huge success, and our leader, Steve, KO4QT, just did a fabulous job. We brought back a little bit of Quartz Fest to show all of you. This is the very magic rock, and it is genuine of the Quartz Fest. Next year, they're going to take Quartz Fest and make it a 10-day event. So it's going to be fun for everyone that wants to spend a lot of time out on the desert. And if you worked W7Q, we hope that you'll QSL, and you can QSL me, WB6NOA at ARRL.net, and we'll get you the QSL back from our very special station there at Quartz Fest. So Quartz Fest, another ham radio favorite that really worked out well. So I hope you enjoyed the videos. Now, Cheryl's got something very special. And Cheryl, we're going to let Alex bring up the Buddy Holly material. So Cheryl, how about telling us what you got going on with Buddy Holly? Cheryl?
Well, I've got Peggy Sue, who is an amateur radio operator from way back, and another lady amateur radio operator, which we're always trying to get more of you ladies interested. So hopefully this will inspire you. It's not just about the year 2000 or 2012 or any particular time. She took interest after participating in an event called the W5B commemorative will be coming up, but I want to talk a little bit about her. Her name is Peggy Sue Guerin, and she's a most prominent of the W5B guest operators. In the namesake of Holly's 1957 rockabilly hit, Peggy Sue went to high school with Holly and later married the drummer in his band, the Crickets. She wasn't the boyfriend to Buddy Holly. Most people get that one not quite right. And she was she participated in the event, and it sharpened her desire to get her ham license. So we're all inspired at different levels to go on to getting our amateur radio license, and I happen to have a brother that got me involved. But back to her again. That happened, and the FCC granted her the call sign KE5AKW. That was the first one, and then, of course, so we all go on, and she applied for a vanity call sign of her initial. So her call sign today is K5PSG. So out of the Buddy Holly events that she has attended in her life, she said after the W5B special event, that would always stand out in her memory, and pretty much as rock and roll history has it, Holly originally titled the song Cindy Lou, but the Crickets drummer Jerry Allison, who she married later on, convinced the singer to change the tune's name to Peggy Sue. So just right before the recording session, it was just a spur of the moment thing. And after Holly's death, Peggy Sue toured the Crickets when the band got back together. And then, of course, then there was a follow-up song called Peggy Sue Got Married, and it was inspired in a 1986 movie starring Kathleen Turner. But basically what I want to just say is it's interesting who is a female or a lady ham radio operator, what makes them get involved. And we wish more and more of you would join in, because there's so many fun things on the airwaves. It doesn't matter which mode that you're involved with. I particularly like HF radio. You never know who you're going to get. And I did read one thing that Peggy Sue actually had said. She says, I enjoy more than interviews, more than TV, even more than radio, is when I key up that microphone, you never know who you're going to get. And it's nice when there's somebody that responds. So that's kind of how she feels about ham radio. I'm excited about it. I love talking on the airwaves myself. But getting to the Memorial Special Event Station, it's going to be from February 3 to February 5, 2012. So just right around the corner. And the frequencies are 3.860 megahertz, 14.260 megahertz, 7.260 megahertz and 18.150 megahertz. So please look for them, or listen for them, I should say, on the air. So it'll be located in Buddy Holly's hometown of Lubbock, Texas. W5B will commemorate the 53rd anniversary of the day the music died. Now hold up the items here so that you might be able to see it. I don't know how well that camera is. That's too close.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the little item here. And I just want to give you some websites, too. So basically, PeggySueOnline.com will give you some information about her. And if you want the item that I just held up, that would be at www.amcrc.com/W5B. Once again, that's www.amcrc.com/W5B. And that's a great thing. So please try and participate in that. And back over to you. Thanks.
Okay. Wow, that sounds great. Well, we hope to be on the air this weekend and take part in that very special station. All right. Thanks, Cheryl. Julian pointed out that we had some questions out of the chat room, and I want to just quickly answer a couple of them. The first one was, how many Qs were made at the W7Q Quartzfest special event station on that ICOM? And they did over 900. In fact, the day I left, they were just trying to get to 1,000. So a lot of heavy activity. And Steve, KO4QT, the Quartzfest organizer, says that he'll have all of the details up at quartzfest.org, QUARTZFEST.org. And Julian has another question from one of our listeners. That's right, 250 RVs that were ham operated, 800 hams over that week long, and literally thousands of RVs that come in to the area. And speaking of the area, I know George and both Cheryl, Julian says, how many acres? Hundreds of acres of Bureau of Land Management territory. So you just pick up a cactus and park, but don't park on a cactus or else you'll be in trouble. George, I understand that you've got some shack shots, and Alex, I think we've got them. You may want to narrate them, George. But George, what have you been doing? And do you have those shack shots, say that five times quick, and maybe a couple of questions that you fielded out of the chat room. George?
Okay, I do have the shots here, and I've got the email, and we'll try to get them straight. I'm not sure that I have the correct text that goes with them. Yeah, I've just got the shot, so I don't have what they should be. Questions out of the chat room. Some people are asking, where will the D-Star net be tonight? And that's on Reflector 14C. I've been trying to watch it here. They're coming in pretty quick tonight. Nothing in particular else that I caught from the chat room right now, but people are wanting to see those Shaq shots, so maybe we ought to go to those, Gordo.
Okay, go ahead and roll them, Alex. And let me just sort of take a look. That's a pretty nice, clean installation, the big Ameritron tuners. And we aren't sure exactly whose is whose. This could be
N1FOY.
Oh, there we go. Thanks, Alex. Alex, you get to narrate. N1FOY, and he's in the Shaq chat room a lot, and that's a great-looking Shaq. Okay, the next one, Alex?
WJ6W.
Oh, man, Collins. I love that. Go ahead, George. You can describe some of that great gear. I know you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I like that Collins. As a matter of fact, I saw a lot of it, what looked like in mint condition this past weekend, and I'm just ashamed that I didn't pick up any of it. But that is certainly a nice set there. I'm not familiar with all the model numbers, but it looked exactly like what's on the bench right there. And I think they were asking about $2,000 for the whole set.
Oh, my goodness. All right. All right, let's see. Let's take a look at the next shot. Now, this is a nice, clean one from KI6VJY. Nice, simple, and a very effective station setup. And he's got a Kenwood, an ICOM. He's got the rotator, got to have the clock. And, George, what's that microphone? It looks like a commercial mic, huh?
That looks like a Howell fan to me, Gordo. If it's not, it's a very good Chinese knockoff. I think that's Bob's mic, certainly.
All right. All right, now let's do a little homebrew and take a look at Collins, C-O-L-I-N, homebrew transceiver that, look at that. Georgia, this is your part of the world. You better describe all that neat copper I see on the inside.
Yeah, it looks to me like the chassis here is actually made out of printed circuit boards. That's pieces of printed circuit boards that have been set up at 90-degree angles and soldered together, and it may not be as rugged as a steel chassis, but boy, will the insulation be good there.
All right. And Colin doesn't stop there. Look at this, huh?
Boy, a nice crystal set for sure.
All right. Well, that's great. And we encourage everyone to send us your Shaq shots. And we'll let George near the end of the cast tell you exactly where to send them. But those were some good ones. And we appreciate taking a look in the Shaq that you have. Well, we've had some good band conditions over this past week. A couple of solar flares and a couple of coronal mass ejections and just some great conditions out at Quartz Fest. Someone in the chat room asks, what bands were we on the most? And the answer was 10 meters and 15 meters. Another question out of the chat room suggests, what did we use for brilliance to get the images of the movies on the side of the RVs at night? It was 2,000 lumens. And Julian is going to reach over there, and I've got to show you one more thing before we get started. At the CES show, they have LEDs on a roll, and we're going to roll these out week after next. They run on 12 volts DC, and if you want a great way to dress up your shack or your RV, you'll have that capability. And finally, the Handy Hams were there talking about all of the hard work that they're putting in to get more folks on the air, and we had an antenna. Montana shootout that Bill was in charge of, and it was a great success with a wonderful band conditions. All right, well, it's almost time for Newsline, and that's Robert. I like Robert's voice. So, Alex, we'll give you a moment to bring up Mr. Sudock with Newsline, and we're also going to see Robert a little bit later on in a little video that George took this past week. So, Alex, if you'll go ahead and bring on Mr. Sudock with Newsline.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, January 31st, 2012. The FCC has rejected a request from Alaska's Anchorage Volunteer Examination Coordinator for a temporary waiver of Section 97.505A. It would allow individuals whose amateur licenses have expired examination credits for elements previously passed without retesting. The Anchorage VEC filed for the waiver pending the outcome of a related rulemaking petition in FCC docket WT11-130, which seeks the same end but on a permanent nationwide basis. In its denial, the FCC noted that individuals who don't hold a current or renewable amateur license, regardless of whether they've held one in the past, must again demonstrate their qualifications before obtaining a new license. The FCC also noted that the dismissal of the Anchorage VEC's request is a separate matter from the pending docket 11-130. So for now, if a ham lets their license expire and fails to renew it during the 2-year grace period, it's back to ground zero before being issued a call sign to get back on the air. Amateur radio is mentioned in the preface of the International Telecommunication Union's agenda docket for the World Radio Communication Conference 2012 taking place in Geneva, Switzerland. Of interest to the amateur satellite service is item 1.15 to consider possible allocations in the range 3 to 50 megahertz to the radio location service for oceanographic radar applications. Also, item 1.19 to consider regulatory measures and their relevance to enable the introduction of software-defined radio and cognitive radio systems. Item 1.22 examines the effect of emissions from short-range devices on radio communication services. And item 1.23, which considers an amateur allocation of 15 kilohertz in parts of the band from 415 to 526.5 kilohertz on a secondary basis. WRC 2012 ends February 17th. And for this week, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source of amateur radio news, brought to you each week without interruption at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Robert Sudock, WB6FDF73, and we'll see you next time on Ham Nation.
Robert, I want your voice. That was great. Wow, a new allocation down there at the bottom of the band. That would be terrific. Long antenna, but there you go. Now, we had several folks over the last couple of weeks down at Quartz Fest say, what's that Julian got for camera gear? So I'm going to put him on for just a minute or so, and then we're going to go to a very special video that was shot up at the Brick House a few months ago. So that'll be next for the video, Alex. But first, here he comes, Julian, N3JF. Julian, just slide right in here and tell him what you got.
All right. Well, here we go. I've been receiving quite a bit of email about the camera systems that we use for the video and also the audio system. So I didn't bring the audio system today because it's a little clunky, but this is the monster camera that we use for shooting most of the Ham Nation videos between Gordo and myself. It is a Canon 5D Mark II. I have here a 17 to 40 millimeter F4 lens. It's one of their L lenses. I think L stands for thousands because it's pretty expensive. And I have here an IDC follow focus unit. It allows me to change the focus on the camera lens in a more natural manner, so I can dial the focus ring more easily. Doing this kind of thing. So you'll see that this kind of thing used in movies all the time. So that's what we use to shoot the videos, and then we edit it using Adobe Premiere, and hopefully get it up to a web server where good people like Alex and Lynn can download it for the future shows. So that's what we've got. This following video was probably not shot with this, but we have one coming up later on, which was shot with this exact gear. So Alex, if you're ready to roll the film, go ahead and roll it now, please.
Good afternoon from the Twit Studios. Yeah, it doesn't look like it, but we are.
No, we're kind of in the ugly part. What are you doing here?
Well, we come to really make this official.
Okay.
Everybody knows that you got your ham radio license that watches Ham Nation.
That's
on
right.
Tuesday
I'm a technician,
night.
but it could happen tonight.
It could happen.
That I become a general class.
That is exactly right.
I'm taking the test tonight.
Right.
And I got the vanity call sign, W6.
We have to be able to make sure you're official when you go places.
Yeah.
Well.
I was just saying, I need one of those. Every time I see a ham, they've got a name badge.
Well, you have a name badge.
Now when I go down to the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club tonight to take my test, I've got the badge.
You're a big man.
I'm one of the people.
That's
you
right.
know, there's a guy, I think he's a K6 LED, and he has LEDs on his...
Oh, man.
But I'm TWT for Twit.
That's right.
All right. So does it matter what side you wear it on?
No.
All right.
Not at all.
So you got all sorts of... You got the ARRL logo on yours.
Yeah, but look, he's the big-time instructor.
He says instructor.
That's right. I'm just me.
Hey, that's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And there's one other thing that we
there's
have
more?
To do.
There's
more? Yes.
Unaccustomed to you are as to control pads.
I've never seen this.
What is this? We would like the on button.
The on button?
Yeah, just give it a good push.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared to death.
If
what's going to happen?
Over here
okay.
In a minute, we
are
will.
Pushing?
I'm pushing.
Okay.
Well, not working. All right. Here we go.
Now. What is there?
Hello.
What is that?
The unveiling.
Oh, look at that. That is.
And it even does colors.
Colors.
You're kidding. I can do different colors on this thing?
This is a test.
Let's see.
You know what's so funny is our lighting guy, Brent, I thought you stole his remote control. It's the same remote control. Look at that.
Look at that.
W6TWT, the tech guy. And who is it that does these? Because I know we were talking about this on Ham Nation.
Jim's Engraving.
Yeah.
And it does multiple colors. Right now it's going to do blue for you.
Yes.
I love that.
Or you could do
thank
that
you.
Whatever.
Thank you so
exactly.
much, guys.
Right. Now, and for the final, though, for your final exam to earn, to earn it, we have to talk about Ohm's Law.
Oh, yeah.
We have
power equals current times voltage.
Okay, all right.
Yep, is that right?
That's right.
And that's E equals IR. Eagle equals Indian rabbit.
Yes, right.
Okay,
Indian, right.
Yeah.
All right, what do we have here?
That's an electrical cord. That's voltage, right?
That's voltage. Right.
120 volts AC.
That's great.
All right, yeah.
Now, when we...
I'm a little nervous. This looks a little burnt here. What's going
to
happen
That was
here?
Our last guess. There's nothing to worry about.
Okay,
when
plug that in.
When we plug this in, we're going to energize 110 volts from here to here.
Oh.
Now, part of your general class test is, will we see an arc from here to here, when I plug it in, and when you press the telegraph key,
I think there'll be an arc.
All right, how many out there in Radioland think there'll be an arc?
Well, it's close enough. I think it's going to arc. It's going to jump right across, isn't it?
All right, let's try it. We're going to plug it in.
Plug it in. This sounds so dangerous.
All right, and now
you approved for this?
Yeah, wait. This is ready.
All right, I'm going to key it.
Yep.
No, there's no arc.
No, there's no arc.
Because it's alternating current.
And look at this, same distance. You've never seen a wall outlet arc, have
that's
you?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Silly. Everybody raised their hands. They were all wrong.
Okay. So what must we do to get that to arc? We can either raise the voltage.
The voltage so it jumps.
What would we do to the resistance? Right now, remember, resistance of air is finite.
We want to lower the resistance.
That's right. So we could lower it with a banana.
We could. This is very low resistance.
Do you think so?
I don't know. I have no idea what the impedance of a banana is.
That's right. Well, we'd call it the ohmic resistance, and maybe it has a little impedance in it.
All right.
But the banana is lacking something. It has no
salt.
That's right. No salt.
It needs some sodium.
So
we need a conductor.
We have a conductor.
It's a pickle.
if you'll hold on to this,
This is scary.
We're going to do
look at that. You're putting pickles.
Do two. Let's see if we can do a third one. Why not?
Oh, you can't get three pickles.
No, I don't think we can.
These are giant. But these are Petaluma pickles.
These are Petaluma pickles.
I wouldn't mind having a bite, though, if you don't
all
mind.
All right. Here we go. Looks pretty good, huh?
Yeah, really good.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll finish that later.
We'll have that later.
Yeah. So now, Susabella, if you'll be the one to play. Susie is our safety officer, yes. N6GLF.
All right. No pacemakers, okay. No.
All right.
My heart's pounding.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Susie plugs it in.
Okay. 110 volts AC.
First press to get them up to temperature. Press to get them up to temperature.
You may keep holding down. It's going
to.
Oh, my God, they're boiling. Oh, my God, they're smoking. They're starting to line up.
Send SOS.
Okay, dit, dit, dit.
My pickle is on fire.
Dot. It's starting to smell. Dit. Dot. Flavorful.
Good. All right. He did it.
Oh. Will it explode if I keep holding it?
Nope.
There is.
I passed the pickle test.
That's right. Passed the pickle test. And, Leo, you're now a genuine ham. And thank you for having us on board. And all the hams out there say, Yay, Leo.
All right, I'm off. I'm going to drive down to Lafayette to the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club, and I'm going to try for that general. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
And I'll come back and I'll let you know how I do. All right?
Roger that.
Thank you, guys. Right. 73.
Oh, wow. Man,
he was a great sport. That is terrific. All right, cool. George, we're going to go over to you because it's smoke and solder. And then Alex will bring in Julian's unboxing after George. So, George, how about smoke and solder? We gave you the smoke with Leo and our tour of the Capitol City Hamfest. George?
Yeah, it would be hard to beat the smoke generated by that pickle there, Gordo. I want to know how many kilowatts that pickle was rated at.
Unknown. Maybe 100 watts.
100 watts. Okay. Well, this week I didn't get the soldering iron warm because we had a ham fest here in town and I needed to get together some things for that. But we did shoot some video there and ran into some interesting characters, many of whom you already know. And here's some little short interview clips that came out of some interviews that'll be in the next AmateurLogic.tv. But this stuff was so good, I just wanted to get it on to you. So, Alex, if you can roll the video there from the Jackson Hamfest.
For almost as long as there has been amateur radio, there have been annual events called Hamfest. In many regions, this is the premier social event of the calendar year, where hams get together to swap old and new gear, parts, junk, and stories. I attended the Capital City Hamfest in Jackson, Mississippi this past weekend, and visited with many friends who I only see this time every year. You might know a few of them. Tom Samasico, KB4HQA, is a former employee of HRO in Atlanta. Tom and I met several years ago at an MFJ open house event in Starkville.
What brings you to Jackson today?
Well, a little bit of both. I've been to this ham fest about 3 years ago. And it's a really good ham fest. I hate to say it, but it's a lot better than some in the Atlanta area. But that and come see you guys. And I've got family up here a little bit north of here near Starkville. So
Where, Mississippi?
Okay. So so I'm here for that. And after we get out of here, I'm going to head up there. But mainly come to the ham fest and look around and we enjoy it coming out here. Plus, I get away from the house for a couple days.
Yeah, that can never hurt anything. So, Tom, you do a weekly amateur radio podcast called HQA Radio. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the website is hqaradio.com, and we do a live show on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we also have a couple recorded shows, Amateur Radio Weekly, and we're starting a new one next week called Digital Modes Today, which is going to be just on amateur radio digital modes.
Huh.
The weekly show we put up on the website, but the live show on Sunday, we pick a topic for each week, and we have people in the chat room to come in and ask different questions and everything, and we record it, and it's put up on the website usually by Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. I've watched it a number of times. And
I've had you on the show twice so far since we started last year, so... which I appreciate, but yeah, no, it's working out really well.
You were on a chat room on that show, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, the chat room is on Ustream. You could either watch the live show directly from HQARadio.com, or you could watch. There's a link on there to click the Ustream. And if you have a Ustream account, you can log in and ask questions during the show, make comments, suggest things, whatever. But, yeah, we get a pretty good amount of people in the chat room, especially when we did our topic on the D-Star.
I also ran into another guy many of you will know, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, from Amateur Radio Newsline. Don talked about getting into ham radio himself and helping others do the same.
Well, when did you get into amateur radio? Was it before or after you got into broadcasting?
About the same time. Radio has always intrigued me. I was into CB radio in 73, 74, you know, as a 13, 14-year-old.
About the same time all of us were into
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. You know, Convoy, and then, of course, Smokey and the Bandit in 77, 78 hit, and I've got one of those cars, by the way. I've got a black 78 Trans Am Smoking the Bandit car.
Wow.
But, and so I was studying for my ham ticket in 75 and 76. And in Oklahoma, where I grew up, when you are 15 and a half, you can get your learner's permit. So in 1975, I'm studying for my ham ticket, and all of a sudden, I get my driver's license. And girls and cars got to be more important than code and theory.
Yeah.
So it was exactly 20 years later that my wife, her uncle, I found out he was a ham. And I'm like, God, I got interested in that many, many years ago. And he's like, well, you know, they've dropped the Morse code requirement. Now you can get into it. You know, you only have to know, you know, you have to know 20 words a minute. You can get into, just get your tech license and no Morse code at all. I'm like, well, hell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my foray back into ham radio in 95. And I haven't stopped since. That's when I got involved with Amateur Radio Newsline was in 95. We had a Young Ham of the Year winner. I think he won in 93, and in 95, he and I became friends, and he conned me into taking him to the Huntsville Ham Fest. And so I've been going to Huntsville since then, met Bill Pasternak with Newsline then, and I've been doing Newsline since then. So yeah. I've been doing Newsline as long as I've been a ham, and that's kind of how I got started in it. And now I'm an extra now, and probably the most fun I have in ham radio besides doing Newsline is as a VE. I love making new hams.
Well, Tommy and I are VEs, too,
I love that.
And that is a lot of fun.
To see someone, you know, achieve that dream or whatever you want to call it for them, you know, it's quite an accomplishment. Even now that they've dropped the code, it's still quite an accomplishment to watch someone go from, say, especially to go from walking in as a non-ham to walk out as an extra. That's still a rare thing, and I've been lucky enough to sign off on several of those. So,
wow.
Yeah,
they went all the way in one pass.
Several, yeah. I've had several signed off on several that go zero to extra in one sitting,
My friend Jim, you remember my friend Jim, talked with Ward Silver, N0AX, from the ARRL, about how ham radio and the maker movement have much in common.
I'm interested in your take on the maker movement and what you think of that as how it's going to relate to ham radio.
Well, maker movement is terrific. Mythbusters really blew the lid off of that and made it cool to drill things and take things apart and open stuff up and most importantly, blow things up, you know. But the makers, the people that like to put their hands on stuff and use tools and things, those are basically our people. Those are ham radio people, and I think if they knew more about ham radio, they'd be more inclined to investigate it. And we're starting, the league is starting to reach out into the maker community. We have a new video, do-it-yourself, DIY for ham radio and a new little button and that sort of thing. And we're hopeful that the video will start to reach the maker community and get the word out. If you go out there into the maker community and you go to Maker Fair and these websites like Instructables.com that are out there, there are hams that are already out there.
Yes.
And they are starting to be seen as people that have a resource of technical knowledge about electronics and building things and just practical use of tools and ham radio that the makers can use in whatever activity that they're doing.
So it's really, it can be a symbiotic relationship. There's a lot
Very
that ham
much.
Radio can bring to the maker movement, and as well as vice
and,
versa.
And vice versa, I think. And that's a, it's almost a return to the type of technical avenue to the hobby that was very popular in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Right, the old Heath Kit days.
And the old Heath Kit days and building things and taking stuff apart and putting it back together. And how many hams got their start taking apart the family radio and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Hey, there are people. I think we need to have that conversation. I'd like to see that conversation happening. More hams just need to get involved with their local maker group. And I think that personal contact is... There's no substitute for personal contact.
Yes, I absolutely agree. It's and you know, it's convergence is one of those overhyped and overtriped words, but it really is the computer community with the Unos and Parallax basic stamps, and then the ham radio guys, and then the maker people are, it seems to me anyway, are all beginning to come together. And these, whether you call it a maker movement or a reemergence,
well, it's
of
an interesting
radio
hybrid activity where it's no longer purely radio or purely robotics or purely computer. It's you get these real interesting synthesis of different areas of expertise, and you come up with new things. So you have these balloon launches, for example, that are starting to become very popular, where you have an APRS tracker, you have an ATV. You have a data link, all this kind of stuff. That's the ham radio component of this balloon-type activity. Or what's another one? Geo-fox hunting, where you flip between geocaching and fox hunting.
Yes.
You know, and you go back and forth and back and forth, and you build antennas. So, you know, there's all sorts of different... this is what I consider to be ham radio 2.0, which is not just a purely radio thing, but it's a hybridization of radio and wireless technology with other activities that have been going on for a while, and I think it has a lot of potential.
The full-length interviews with Wade, Tom, and Don will be featured in the next AmateurLogic.tv coming in the next 2 weeks. All in all, it was a great ham fest with what I feel sure was record attendance this year. While the size of some ham fests have shrunk in recent years, thanks to the Jackson Amateur Radio Club, this event just seems to be getting bigger and better every year.
Bill, your pocket's smoking. You got a soldering iron in there?
Oh, that's great, George. Good job, buddy.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad Jim and my partner Tommy also helped me get those videos together. And we've got more from the people we spoke with there, but... That was just a little bit of what went on for us at the Ham Fest, along with lots of old great gear. And, you know, I bought the usual coax and connectors and, a set of crimpers, just various odds and ends that you need. And you always put off buying until you're in a place like that where it's all under one roof. And I've got our contest. I've got our contest here, Gordo. Whenever you want to do it, now or after Julian's video,
We'll roll with Julian's video, and we'll let you get ready for the contest, so you'll be right back. Julian has a new radio. He couldn't resist, so he bought the ICOM. Yeah, he loves it. The D-Star. And, Alex, if you'll go ahead and let's show Julian unboxing his new radio, then back to George.
I'm here without her. You see?
That is the way to do it. The unboxing and setup of the ID31, and Julian's got it rolling. All right, George, back to you for the contest, and then if you would, pass it over to Cheryl, because I know Cheryl wants to talk all about Bob and Sarah and the Rock Hall of Fame. So, George, over to you first.
Okay, Gordo, and that IC 31 certainly is a nice-looking rig. I saw one of those this weekend at the Ham Fest, and when I learned what all it can do, I think programming it would be much easier than most of the other D-Star radios out there. Okay, for our contest, Gordo, you were gone last week, so we just threw a question out there, and the viewers didn't necessarily have to have the correct answer, just an answer. And we'll call this contest... Where in the world is Gordo San Diego? Anyway, we've compiled it here to a top 10 list of guesses where you might be this week. Of course, all of these are going to be wrong because you're here. But Christopher Hilton and Ken Franson both said they guessed that after Quartz Fest, you'd be headed over to the Desert Rats Palm Springs Ham Fest. Number nine, David.
They are Gordo? Correct.
They are correct. And number nine, David Ho said, where will Gordo West pop up next? At the Twit Brick House. And he was kind of correct, too, in this episode. Number eight from Paul Griffith, KE5WMA, he says, since no one has said Gordo would be attending the Jackson Ham Fest, he would expect him to show up at the special event station, AG6AU, in California to celebrate the discovery of gold. Number seven, Tommy Goger, N5DUX, said Gordo's going to show up on his sailboat next. Number six, Kyle Johnson said, not very exciting, but he'll be at his home QTH in Costa Mesa. But to add excitement, he will be in his dune buggy. At number five, Robert Costello, KD4CA. So I said, I believe Gordo will pop up in the next Lady Gordo music video. The number four place that Gordo might pop up, according to Daryl Quinn, is Gordo will show up at Burning Man. That would be awesome. The number three place Gordo is likely to pop up, Dave McDermott, K8GCU, says that he thinks Gordo will show up at the Roswell UFO Festival. Number two, Frank K2IYE says, based on his CES performance, he expects Gordo's headed straight to MTV. And the number one place that Gordo will likely show up next, according to Kimball Baring, it's expected that he'll be on the International Space Station soon. So, Kimball, thanks for the winning answer there. We will be shipping out this 24-hour MFJ clock to you this week. You know, if you're a ham and you're operating HF especially, you got to have a 24-hour clock you can set to universal coordinated time. And this week's contest, well, let's say you saw my friend Jim. You remember my friend Jim, don't you, Gordo?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Jim talked with Ward Silver, and they discussed a movement here. And so just write in and tell us what movement they discussed to hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And we'll have another random drawing next week and see who the winner is. Back to you, Gordo.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, well, there's your contest for next week. And I don't know about the space station this week. We may hold off for a couple of weeks. All right, Cheryl, you're on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cheryl?
Great. I just wanted to say congratulations, though, to Leo, the tech guy, W6TWT. A big congratulations to you. And also, I just wanted to say one thing, that we have a big birthday coming up for Bill Pasternak. Is February the 7th. It's a big birthday for him. I don't think I can say which one. He didn't authorize that, but happy birthday from all of us here at Ham Nation to you, Bill. Happy birthday. And back to this really terrific thing that's going on at the Cleveland Rock Hall Museum, is that Bob is going to give away two free tickets. And the important thing is it ends tonight. So basically, before 12 hits tonight on the clock, Central Time, if you want to go to basically the log into your Facebook and or facebook.com/HeilSound, and then you would want to click to win the trip to the rock and roll paradise. I'm going to hold up the thing that you will see right on the website here. It's a little bit floppy there, but there it is. They're going to have that random drawing to send two people to Cleveland and enjoy a special tour of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where on the third floor next to the Les Paul Room is the display of some of Bob Heil's early work that he did. Serial number one, the talk box he built for Joe Walsh, and also the Rocky Mountain Way, the mixer he built, used with the Grateful Dead, and the quad mixer that will be there. And he used that for Who's Quadrophenia and many other important pieces of audio history from Heil Sound. So they are the only manufacturer in the Cleveland Rock Hall Museum. So it's quite an experience, and you might want to get your tickets in because for the most part, Bob says it will be a random drawing and easy odds. So please go ahead and get your entries in. Very easy. Facebook.com/HeilSound. And there's the pyramid that you will see. And you just go under the pyramid. I actually tried it, and just to see how you do it. And you hit the enter right underneath the pyramid, and you can put all your information in there, and you'll get a confirmation email too. So that's pretty much it. So good luck to all of you, and enjoy. And back over to you, Gordo.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl. Wow. Hey, Bob was looking pretty good. Cheryl, you're looking great. And of course, George always looks just fabulous. Bob and Sarah in front of that big pyramid. Well, next week, we've got all sorts of things happening. I'm going to be at an undisclosed location, but Julian says he'll beam me up. Hopefully, we'll have better video than the windstorm I was in a week ago at Quartz Fest. Next week, John Amadeo. Now, he is a producer of The Last Man Standing. Remember Tim Allen? Well, anyway, he's going to be on, and you're going to see some excitement there at the studio, and that is what is going to happen next week. So be sure and tune in, and you'll see me somewhere out there in Radioland. And, Bob, wherever you are, you and Sarah, have a great time tonight. We're trying to hold down the fort. Someone says we're moving awfully quick. Yep, that's what happens in ham radio. All right, let's go to George for a finale, and then George, pass it over to Pretty Cheryl, and then I'll go ahead and do the close. And Alex, was he awesome or what? Good job, Alex. Okay, George, over to you for a final.
Well, thank you, Gordo. Good being here this week. I forgot to mention what we were going to give away next week, and that's another copy of Constructing HF Wire Antennas by Jerry Buston, KR7KZ. And the nets, it looks like 40-meter net tonight is on 7.203. The EchoLink net, as always, is on the Do Drop-In Conference server. That's node number 355-800. And the D-Star net will be on Reflector 14 Module C. And if you don't have a D-Star radio or you're not a ham and you'd like to listen to that net, then visit wx4adx.com/listen. See everyone next week. Really looking forward to the visit there to Tim Allen Studio.
All right. Thanks, George, and thanks for that great interview today. I'm already losing my voice. All right, Cheryl, over to you for a final.
Well, it was great to be here tonight, and we enjoyed bringing everything to you. You guys, you did such a great job on all the video presentations. George, just great, excellent, and thanks for holding down the fort. Great job. Just wanted to just say later on HF, I don't think anyone mentioned that frequency. I know I'll be out there on 3.847. So if you want to chime in on 75 meters, we'll be there to talk to you. And thanks for coming in and viewing tonight, and we'll see you next week. Back over to you, Gordon.
All right. Thanks so much. And to the chat room, thanks for all your comments. And we'll incorporate some of your questions in upcoming shows. So this is Gordo, WB6NOA, along with Julian, N3JF. Go ahead, Julian.
N3JF.
And all of the gang at the Twit Studio saying all the ham radio operators. Very 73, thanks for tuning us in, and we'll catch you down the log. 73, WB6NOA, clear.